week we're talking
about Ladies and gentlemen, this week we're talking about, you guessed it, Star Wars. That's about it. No. San Diego Comic Con and Rogue One stuff and much more right now. Holy hot ham sandwich goodness gracious. Great balls of fire jumping Jehoshaphat. It's the Star Wars Report podcast, people. I'm Riley Blanton, your host for this week's podcast. It's episode 233. Whenever I say the word 3 or 30, it's got to be 33. Because I've been all over the place in the last few weeks. But I'm back home in the studio here to talk Star Wars with some of my best Star Wars buddies. Let's start with him. He's a good friend of us here. You love him. You know him. You know how much he's excited about Thrawn being in Star Wars Rebels. It's Mr. Mark Herleman. How's it going, Mark?
There were tears. There were tears. I won't lie.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. Yes. They've just when they think you're out, Dave Filoni sucks you back in. Also,
he like a tuna on the side of the boat, man.
We're going to have to pull him away from his Star Trek fandom because he just got out of Star Trek Beyond, as did I. Great movie. It's Mr. Bruce Gibson, producer extraordinaire of the Star Wars Report. How's it going, Bruce?
Live long and prosper. Oh, wait, I can't say that here. May the Force be with you, Riley.
That's your one take. We have the one tolerance policy for the LLAP, so...
No worries. I'm done with that. It's all Star Wars from here on out.
Excellent. And speaking of all Star Wars from here on out, it's the host of My Star Wars Story and South Georgia radio personality extraordinaire. He was hashtag not at Celebration covering it with some great episodes with our buddy Steve Glosson. It's Mr. Scott Rifen. Welcome back to the program, sir.
At my age, it's live long and prostate. So.
All right. And that's... We have a zero tolerance policy on that one. Well, I forgot to give you the contract, the guest contract. That was no, guys. I'm so excited to have you all on and to finally talk some Star Wars while not halfway around the world. Although I'm not going to lie, it was a lot of fun. And this is the first time talking to all of you guys on the air since being, well, at the XL Center in London. It's hard to believe that this thing's already like 2 weeks past. Ah. My, how time is flying. But it was such a great time. Of course, you guys heard last week's episode. If you haven't listened, check it out. It's, of course, I need you to be my radio dad and be proud of me. I did like a half hour solo.
Nice.
Because that was that's literally the only thing I was able to do was to dig out the Zoom recorder and record a personal recap. And then, of course, also on last week's episode was the couch edition, the at-home edition. Mark, you rounded up a great roundtable. It was you, it was Nathan Butler, and it was Michael Morris, as well as Tom from Ion Cannon. So really enjoyed that. So thanks so much for putting that together too, sir.
Oh, yeah. You know, somebody's got the couch perspective taken down, so we had the couches.
Exactly. So we are going to touch a little bit about Celebration, but we've also got... news for episode 8. It's finally wrapped production. New Rogue One characters have been revealed. The possibility of not one, not two, but three Han Solo movies, as well as, of course, a look at what happened at it's the hashtag not at San Diego Comic Con recap. But I actually kind of want to start, before we get into the news segment, gentlemen, I wanted to actually get a sort of decompression moment and overall thoughts on the con now that we're all on the call together. And but before we do that, it's called a tease, ladies and gentlemen. I want to say thank you to everyone who's making this show happen at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. If you want to join the club, catch our daily podcast coverage of Star Wars Celebration Europe, as well as Riley. Literally, we recorded this right before we started the show this week. This week's bonus audio. It's not a Rebels commentary. We resume those next week. But it's Riley ranting about the various adventures that involve covering a convention as press, particularly in how it's kind of changed in the last couple of years. And there's some interesting positive and negative, we'll say, aspects to the story, and me and Scott talk a little bit about it. That's this week's bonus content, and that's the way we thank you, you guys, who are supporting this show and making it happen. Huge thank you to everyone who's pledged over the celebration weekend. We've had some new patrons jump on board. We've got some new bonuses that we have to send out to everybody. We're going to be processing all of the new patrons in the coming week. So thank you guys so much, seriously, for making this show happen. But let's talk about it. Star Wars Celebration. I actually want to kick off with Bruce, because Bruce, you and I were there.
Yes, and you were singing Irish songs the whole time, because you were in Ireland right before that.
I took a stroll down the old gray wall. All right. I'm still doing it, by the way, too. yes, because I flew in. I turned it into... I was constantly laughing about... I don't know whether the celebration trip was the excuse to travel in Europe or traveling in Europe was the excuse to go to Star Wars Celebration. For the nature of this podcast, I think the best statement is to say that the Celebration Europe was the excuse to travel in Europe.
Well, that was certainly my excuse, too, because for the last couple of years, my wife has been saying to me, I want to go to Europe with the kids some summer. We need to pick a summer. And I kept delaying it because it's expensive. And then I was at Celebration in Anaheim, and they announced London. Everybody around me went, oh, and I went, yes, that's the year I'm going. So it was my excuse to finally get there.
Yes. Nice. Yes. Yes. Excellent. Yeah, it was so much fun. It was so different in a lot of ways than a U.S. celebration, but evidently more similar to U.S. one than any of the previous Europe, because the crowds were enormous compared to what I had heard previous Celebration Europes were. And it was so much fun. It was so much fun. And of course, if you guys haven't listened to it, we did the live show from the 1-4 stage, and that is available in the podcast feed right now. And it was just so much fun. It was so much fun to see so many friends, and also to be able to actually meet new friends and hang out with some new people too. It was great. Scott, tell me all about it. How was what was your impression of all the goings on from here stateside?
I got to tell you, I get up early now for my job.
Yep, yep.
Celebration coverage started at like 6 a.m. every day because of the stream and the time and all that other stuff. And so even on the weekends, usually me during the week, I get up at like 3:30 in the morning so I can go to work.
Mm-hmm.
And no human being actually gets up at 3:30 in the morning and gets a full night's sleep. Because that's what's 3 to midnight and 5 on top of that. You're like going to bed at 7:30 at night. Nobody does that.
Yes, yes.
So what you do is you get no sleep during the week, and then on the weekend you crash and you make up for it. Well, my problem was I couldn't make up for it because I had to keep getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning to watch Star Wars Celebration coverage.
Yes.
But it was, I got to tell you, it's almost better than having been to, a couple of celebrations. It's almost better than being at Celebration to watch that coverage, because I'll just say this, you get to be at more panels and wait in fewer lines watching the coverage on the stream.
It's true. It's true. Like if your only goal at Celebration is like to see the programming, you're better off watching that stream, because it's amazing what they do. Like literally, I was at the hotel after finally we were in Barcelona for a few days because traveling, and then we met up with Father Roderick in Amersfoort in the Netherlands, and we were busy vacationing. So when I finally got the stopover, I stayed overnight at a hotel at Luton Airport before flying back home. I literally just pulled up keepvid.com and just downloaded the long YouTube videos. So I was just literally watching panels on the plane home. So I saw the Ray Park panel, the Anthony Daniels panel, like all the ones I've seen them before, so I didn't go. But like I'm watching them, and they're just so great. It's so entertaining and awesome to see. And I'm so glad that part of Celebration is shared, because they could be precious about it and like be very limited, like show you highlight reels or something like that. But the fact that they just like post the whole panel, I love, because it kind of proves that they understand that what Celebration is about, and it's not about the panels. And it's not about like the collectibles or exclusives, although maybe for some people, it's about like actually going and hanging out with friends and celebrating Star Wars. So
yes,
go ahead.
Can I point out how difficult it is to maintain your focus and composure and do a talk show while trying to watch the videos of Celebration in Europe?
You totally did too, right?
Yeah, I totally did.
So were you commenting about what you were seeing at Celebration when you were on the air during your radio show?
No, I was keeping it secret.
I would really wish that you could like sneak in references, maybe disguised, so no one would notice.
Well, I have a return liner that says the guy who used to bozo eye romper rats in his T-16 back home.
Nice. Thank you. So, yeah, well done, sir. And Mr. Hurleman, of course, we caught y'all's reactions to the content. But how closely did you follow along with Celebration, or are you kind of in the bunker, in the proverbial Hurleman bunker?
Yeah, I've been bunkered down. You know, there's been a lot of chaos at the house, and so yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when most of it was going on, you know, I knew, you know, I was going to be reporting some of it, so I knew I was going to be getting bits and pieces of different aspects, but yeah. I wasn't sure exactly what all you guys were going to cover because, you know, the last one I went to, I kind of thought, well, we'd hang out a little bit, but it was like, zoom,
zoom, zoom. Oh no!
Riley's got to go over here. I'm like, damn, son, you got this down.
Yeah, I totally did that. And we, to be fair,
nothing's changed.
Pitch, that Bruce, fast pitch ball where they launched a little bouncy ball bouncing around the room. I was expecting that of you. So the way the coverage was coming, I was like, okay, I'll just see what Riley sends my way, and then I'll go from there. But honestly, to this point, I think Mark Hamill's really the only panel I actually watched.
Yeah, that's a good one to pick, by the way. I was listening, Scott, to your awesome Not at Celebration coverage with Mr. Steve Glosson on Geek Out Loud, and I loved the fact that you totally called out Mark on the little he had a little rough start at the very beginning of his panel before he settled into a groove.
Oh yeah, I heard the first
came out.
It was great.
I've got no moderator. Yeah, we know.
but he caught up quickly. It was, I think it took him a second to get comfortable. But you know, once he once Hamill gets in the groove, he is kind of a natural born storyteller. So it turned out great. And then of course I'm kind of biased because they let me and by let me I just kind of walked up there right at the sort of I'm going to call it a corral. There's sort of a little section to the left of the raised stage where photographers go perch to take close-up pictures of the panelists. So I had the big, here's the thing, thanks to everyone who supports us on Patreon, I have the big, gaudy, noticeable, professional DSLR camera and lens. So when I walk up there, no one questions me, and I got some great pictures, of which, Mark, you were so kind, I sent your way, and we got those up right then, day and day of.
There
on the blog.
Ones there too.
The only other big takeaway I wanted to bring forward to you guys, and it's going to be a total plug, is I just finished it yesterday, but on StarWarsReport.com right now, and of course on my Twitter feed at the Riley Guy, I have a new post up, and it's literally titled "Life Con the Cheap: How I Spent Less Than $177 at Star Wars Celebration Europe," which, by the way, get it. Just 5 stars for that pun, everybody. but you can
because you had me buy everything for you.
Yeah, that's true. That is like
just think, he had to spend $150 on that video graphic of the logo. He'd have saved a lot more money.
That's where it all went. Yeah.
Actually, no, that was great. I'm going to touch on the vlog during the Boba's Bounty segment. But yeah, I basically detailed my entire budget for the weekend after going through. And basically, the tips, I won't go through the whole thing. I might do this as a segment once we get close to Celebration Orlando. But my number one thing is like literally never eat at a restaurant. Don't buy anything and just take pictures of everything. Which, by the way, is a great tip for the collectibles and the exclusives. Take pictures of them.
I had to do that at Celebration Anaheim. I'm like, okay, gotta get a picture of this.
Carry your own water. Never buy water, which I was totally guilty of a few times. Though I did have to buy a little bit of water, sadly. And Bruce got me water right before the show. I want to say. Right before the show.
It's true. I did buy you one thing. That's because you would bring water, but then you would always misplace it somewhere.
Oh, absolutely. Reliably. Like, I would know. It's going to be a matter of 20 minutes inside of the convention, and I will have left my bottle of water somewhere.
Or sit at a table with 5 others, and you don't dare reach out.
Exactly. And that's how I did it, because I'm cheap. So, and I actually literally break down every item. The most expensive item the entire weekend were the Tube Station tickets, and even then, that was only 30 euro, 39 US dollars. So that wasn't too bad. Not too bad at all. I was cheap because I kind of had to be. And I, by the way, I was nervous, but I did decide to include a Watto GIF in the post. I wasn't sure if I would be called racist, but so far so good. But yeah, no, it was a lot of fun to put together. So check that out; it's available. And we'll toss that in the show notes for this week's episode as well. But enough about Star Wars Celebration. We got to actually get into some of we got to get into some of the news. So let's punch it.
We have something to report.
Closer, I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
We can send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen, listen.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for the news segment. You guys know it. You love it. So here's the deal. Episode 8 has wrapped. It is official. On July 22nd, Rian Johnson and company wrapped up Star Wars Episode 8. They did share all of three. By the way, just be honest. Bruce, how happy were you that they didn't show a trailer or anything at the closing ceremonies? Because for those of you guys who don't know, Bruce had to leave early Sunday morning, so he was not at the convention.
Right, I was on a plane from London to Atlanta, and I kept thinking, oh my gosh, I don't know what's going on at the closing ceremony. I'm kicking myself for having to leave early. I'm missing this. I'm missing something big. And I get off the plane. I'm on a shuttle to my car, and I'm texting with Riley. I'm like, what did I miss? What big thing happened? He's like, nothing.
You missed a 40th anniversary logo.
Yes, and you missed a behind-the-scenes photo that was of a camera covered up by plastic at Skellig Michael. You also missed.
I can't believe I missed that.
A shot of Dave Filoni visiting the set.
The
and
Godfather.
Also, you missed a shot of Gareth Edwards making a cameo in Episode 8, which I think is hilarious.
Riley, when we read between the lines on the camera plastic, was it light or dark?
Make it stop.
Which side of the Force was the camera affiliated? We need to know.
No, what we learned, though, really is, and of course, I'm sure you guys have talked about it. I talked about it in the solo segment. My big takeaway was freaking Bridge Over River Kwai and 12 O'Clock High, two war films that absolutely like define the genre, and I absolutely love both movies. And the Air Force makes us watch, literally, at basic training. One night, we literally sat down and watched all of 12 O'Clock High, which I'd seen it before at Cadet Officer School and Civil Air Patrol, but it's like this big military film, and it's so good. Have you guys seen either of those two films?
Yeah, I admit, I've never seen either one. I've heard of the River Kwai one, but
12 O'Clock High is old.
Talking about them like I should have seen these, and I feel really terrible seeing these.
They're classic old films, but let's find out if you should feel terrible, Mark. If you have company, Bruce, have you seen either of the two films?
No, but I'm waiting for the reboots.
Okay, all right.
And eventually, like every movie gets remade, right? So I'm just waiting for those.
Scott,
I saw Bridge years and years ago. You got young Alec Guinness in it.
Yes. It's so good.
You got your Colonel Bogey March.
Mm-hmm. Yep, of course. Here's the thing, though. They're like sort of heady's the wrong word, but they are films that dig into the challenges of leadership in wartime and kind of what that means, particularly 12 O'Clock High, because it's about, B-29 bombers flying over Germany at the end of World War II getting shot down all the time and how you can possibly keep a unit's morale up. And that, to me, that seems like the kind of film that you would be that would be inspiring Rogue One. But the fact that Rian Johnson basically said, here's the Rian Johnson film school, which I love that he shows up to Lucasfilm to pitch the fact that he wants to be the director of this movie. And when showing up, he just signs everybody homework. Like, that's gutsy. I like it. He's like, well, if I'm going to do this film, you guys got to watch these and understand this to understand my vision. But the fact that he did that, I think, shows. It kind of tells us what we kind of thought the process was, right? Like when it comes to all these young upcoming directors pitching for the spot, it tells us a lot. It's sort of the Marvel method, right? Where they're getting all these young talented directors that aren't necessarily, classic Hollywood, but are ambitious and they want to do something great. Unless you're what's his face, unless you're Josh Trank, in which case it's a disaster.
Well, I thought it was the Wendig method. You know, I'm going to tell you how to see my method, and then you'll know how to see my method.
Fair. But just in the film sense. We actually do have a little bit new from EW. Of course, I'm willing to bet Anthony Bresnikan. If I were to, yep, I knew it.
You are correct.
I knew it. Rogue One meets Powell and Bistan. I'm just gonna roll with it from there. I'm gonna say Powell and Bistan. You guys think that's right? Bistan, Pakistan.
I want to say Bistan, but there's no I or E there, so I who? Okay, let's admit it. I don't know what the heck I'm saying. It's Savage, not Savage. So.
Yeah, it's all better than Space Monkey, though. You got to admit.
This is so true. Which is exactly who we're talking about. We're talking about who basically the fans nicknamed Big Mouth and Space Monkey. Big Mouth, not as well known, but we do have like a few pictures of him. These are basically aliens that are helping the fight against the Empire. But, of course, my absolute favorite is, of course, Space Monkey, an instant classic. Everyone loved him the second we saw the behind-the-scenes reel. Here in an interview, Anthony Bresnikan did get a chance to talk to Gareth Edwards about it, and he said about these aliens, quote, they're an important part of the uprising against the Empire as humans, but they don't know what they wanted Gareth didn't know what he wanted until Neil Scanlan's creature department got busy making designs. So they basically picked out a menagerie of the best creatures, and that's what they decided to use. What I love is the fact that Space Monkey, a.k.a. Bistan, is a gunner. And he's literally on this new U-Wing, whatever we see here. And it's basically like, It's a Pave Hawk. He's basically a 50mm machine gunnist on a Pave Hawk, and it's great. I love it.
See, I didn't realize that was the U-Wing. I thought that was just a new transport device. I thought the U-Wing was going to be more like a regular starfighter. Interesting.
Yeah, I'm not... it'd be interesting to see. I'm just actually going to read straight from the piece. Of course, Space Monkey... He points out startling resemblance to Ernest Borgnine from The Dirty Dozen, which is a fair comparison. He's a gunner on the new starship known as the U-Wing, a sort of gunship and troop transport. Quote, it's not necessarily a character that we get to know, but I think he has a very memorable, iconic look, said Edwards. He's one of my favorites, and I can't give away what happens to him.
But you know, the maniacal, almost, you know, the laughter... while he's blowing away people with his big gun, it reminds me more of Tom Cruise at the end of Taps.
Oh, really?
Nice.
That's a fair point. So, I mean, it kind of goes back to... Bruce, let me ask you, what do you think, now that we're actually getting to know some of these creatures a little bit better, do you like the idea? Is this sort of a subtle hint that aliens, the sort of old expanded universe, Aliens versus Empire, which I believe is Ridley Scott's next film, are they hinting at this maybe that we're going to see a sort of specious element up to the Empire
maybe we'll see more Space Monkeys and Big Mouths, like maybe there's a whole troop of them, and we're just seeing one of them now and one of each of characters, and it would be great to see a bunch of alien races going up against the Empire if they felt like they're being discriminated against by the Empire and going up against them to get the Death Star plans to blow them up. But I'm just glad we're seeing more aliens, because that was one of my concerns about Rogue One, was all the characters seemed to be mostly human. I really wanted to see some more aliens, and so this is reassuring to me.
Yes.
Could this also be a little bit of a preemptive Zuvio strike?
I was going to say, yeah, he's totally preparing us, because, yeah, we I can't tell you guys what happens to him. He dies after like 4 seconds of screen time. Let's be honest. This is exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, no screen time, but we're going to sell an action figure of him. So let's get you a little bit familiar with him anyway.
I bet it's going to be like a great moment, because we're going to see him lay waste to a bunch of freaking stormtroopers, and we're all going to be celebrate. And it's going to be like in the first act of the movie when there's a big battle, and then suddenly Ben Mendelsohn shows up and the tide turns, and then the music goes dark, and then the clouds come over the beautiful beach, and then suddenly there's like a whole brigade of death troopers that set up this special cannon and they just fire it and they wipe out the entire U-Wing squadron. Guys, you heard it here first. I have inside sources. No, I'm kidding. But that's what, and that's when we, that's when he dies.
From like that we're going to definitely see a lot more of the aliens take the fall in a sense. Like we could see like the four aliens in the team be the ones that are the scapegoats for the Empire, because they definitely, Chuck Wendig did bring up the fact that the Empire is very speciesist. If you're not a human, they don't trust you at all. So, you know, that'd be kind of something that'd be interesting to see, like the humans kind of aren't even mentioned whatsoever in the propaganda. It's all just the aliens kind of thing. Like that'd be a cool twist.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Let's talk about Alden Ehrenreich, who I now know how to pronounce his name thanks to our awesome listener email, new segment, the Alden Ehrenreich School of Pronunciation. So, there's a trilogy, basically.
Is there really, though?
Yeah, so this is from the New York Daily News, the source we have here. So basically, things are apparently coming in threes for actor Alden Ehrenreich, who's tapped to play Han Solo in the upcoming Star Wars films. The rumor is the Hail Caesar star is going to, if not has already, signed a contract to play in three movies. Now, Scott, is this Disney being safe and they sign the contract for three films in case it's a hit, and then if, you know, the critics say, hey, this guy sucks? Or is this like a true, like they really believe that as Lawrence Kasdan said, I believe it was Lawrence Kasdan. No. Now I totally blanked on the gentleman's name. Oh. Who said like, oh, this is the best script ever. Are they so confident that like, we're greenlighting three films, damn it.
No. Anytime you have an actor signed to something that is a potential tentpole, you know, piece in a tentpole franchise, you sign them to a three-picture deal. That's common. That's common Hollywood these days. They're all signed to three-picture deals. That's the way they do it.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, I'm not trying to burst bubbles or anything, but that's just what they do.
Yeah, I mean, look at The Walking Dead. The lady that was playing Andrea, she was scheduled. They had her planned all the way for 8 seasons before they were like, oh, we're not going to get past the third.
Yeah, no, exactly. Mark, let me ask you, though, should they? Like, say Alden Ehrenreich is the Alden Ehrenreich.
Darn it.
Alden Ehrenreich. Oh, you just made a little mashup. That's
nice. I know. I was so confident, too. Like, I was going to do this whole segment without messing it up, and there I go. Ehrenreich, Mark, let me ask you, do you think they should, like, if even if this is a great Han Solo film, are they breaking, do you prefer them to keep experimenting every other year with a different kind of Star Wars film? Or if one is successful, are we just going to get every other year another Han Solo movie instead of more experimental films?
Oh, dang, dude, that's a good question right there, because that really locks you in for a little bit. Well, with the Han Solo, if we were looking at three films, I would want something that really gives us a prolific look at the character, something that maybe starts out with him like at the age of 4 or 5, you know, and kind of transports him into his teen years. His teen years.
That's dangerous territory, sir. A lot anti-prequel people.
I want to see something that goes a little longer, but it's got to really be a good story. Otherwise, I don't know. Han's like a character that I'm really trepidatious about them going and playing with. Like,
and you're not alone, sir. You are not. There are people.
I don't even know the whole backstory of him being Imperial. That seems to be completely gone. So I'm okay with that. But I'm like, let's just tread lightly here. Let's not put too much in stone. And I don't know. You know, there's that whole realm of did Han shoot first? And I'm one of those that I love the concept of Han shooting first, because I like the shoot first, don't ask questions at all kind of mentality of him. But other people feel opposite, and this is an opportunity that you can really lock that type of character down and take away that mysteriousness of the character.
Yeah, no, it's going to be
Mark.
We'll see.
Mark raises a good point. I mean, sometimes filling in the blanks is more fun when you do it in your mind than when you have all the blanks filled in for you on screen. Although I would like you to find somebody who actually does prefer him not shooting first, but
yeah, that's a tough find.
Sometimes
George Lucas.
Those things are just, yeah.
Touché. There's touché. One.
That's your one. That's true.
Indeed. Who, by the way, visited the set of Rogue One? Which great. Talk about pressure. Like,
hey, okay. Talking about Lucas visiting sets. Hey, let's talk about Marvel here. Should he not have the Stan Lee treatment for every film? Should they find a way to even digitally enhancing him and putting him in the background?
Like, for some random unexplained reason, Baron Papanoida just shows up in every freaking... It doesn't matter the timeline. He just shows up.
Well, no, you just take Lucas and, like, digitize him at whatever, you know, change the color of his skin, make him, you know, there's always a Lucas of every species out there.
Make him a space monkey, right? I mean, why not?
Exactly. And just to really help him get into the mood, they just show the J.J. Abrams version of his Episode 7 film, and that's the script is the target for the gun. And he's just like, all right. And with that picture painted, I think it's time. Oh, goodness. I think it's time to actually get to San Diego Comic-Con. We're going to hit through these stories real quick because we got a couple emails for you guys as well that we don't want to miss, as well as Boba's Bounty. So I want to touch base on some of the San Diego Comic-Con news. Because we were gone, I was at a distance. Bruce, walk me through some of this. So, evidently, they actually did reveal a few new things from Rogue One, right?
Yeah, even though we weren't there, you know, we're doing it from our couches, and I was actually doing it from my car driving to Disney World, but they had a display of some of the costumes from Rogue One, and in addition to that, they had one of the characters displayed. So this is not a human character. This is, I don't know, I guess this is an alien. It almost looks like alien with part droid components or breathing mask to him,
like a Mustafarian.
Yeah, and his name is what? Edrio Two Tubes. That's two as the number two and tubes because he's breathing out of two tubes. That's hard to say several times.
Well, and it looks like his name is just Edrio, where his eggmate is Bennett Thick, but they're both called Two Tubes. Like Two Tubes is their last name.
The only problem is that he's not wearing a tutu, so...
Yeah, I was just having an army of darkness, goody little tutubes, goody little tutubes.
Oh, yeah, because he is wearing two shoes, but no tutu and two tubes. All right, I'm going to stop. The official description from Lucasfilm does read, he's a mercenary pilot who flies alongside with his eggmate, Benthic. His eggmate... You can't make this stuff up, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, what is an eggmate?
It's like a barbell. Come on, you guys. You can't have forgotten legends so soon. Well, they were legends.
The two share a nickname derived from the breathing apparatus that allows their Tognath physiology to process oxygen atmospheres. Edrio's homeworld, Yar Togna, was conquered and occupied by the Empire, forcing him to flee as a refugee. Desiring to strike back against the Empire, Edrio and Benthic have allied with Saw Gerrera. Now, I believe that's the opening crawl for the next spinoff film.
I came, I saw, I conquered?
Exactly. All right. So, yeah, I like the look. It's another look, and I'm glad they kind of saved something exclusive for the good folks over at San Diego. Let's not forget Chuck Wendig's final Aftermath novel, Empire's End. It sets up The Force Awakens with the Battle of Jakku, which, of course, we all Battlefront players know very well, and I'm very interested. So that's the third one. Of course, the second one just came out. What's the name of it again? I can't remember.
That was Life Debt.
Life Debt.
What's great about that is it literally ends with the fleet showing up at Jakku, but it's also got an epilogue where it's got Palpatine talking to one of the main characters, and what's interesting is that it hints about something big being on Jakku. He goes, I've got a task for you. You will go back to Jakku. There's a spot there in the dirt where my droids were operating. Is precious, not just to me, but to the galaxy at large. It is significant. It is significant 1,000 years ago. It will be significant again. You will go back there and you will monitor my droids excavating the ground, and then I will send more droids and they will build something there below the ground. I want you to guard that space. Can you do it? So, I mean, there's a hint that something huge is going to be revealed inside Jakku, like down in the ground. And
it's Tatooine!
That tickles me.
Don't need to read that now.
I'm gonna bring back the hits hashtag. It's Tatooine. That's the big reveal. Like,
what, Tatooine is under the ground of Jakku? That's the hidden treasure, right?
No, the second sun. The second sun merged with the planet. No. All right. There is some book news as well. Poe Dameron Flight Log is actually a collection of in-universe material similar to the Rey's Survival Guide, which is going to be released along with Rey's Survival Guide, along with an untitled character storybook in November 1st, 2016, which I think is going to be pretty, that's going to be interesting to see. I did totally like read all of Rey's Survival Guide in a Target one day, and I actually really liked it. I need to get that. Did they send you guys at Beyond the Films a copy of that book, Mark?
Not that one.
I figured that might be like a different publishing wing than the regular fiction. So it is
from Fun Studio.
Ah, gotcha, gotcha.
Which says it's a Reader's Digest company.
Yeah, since Disney took over, there's been more publishing companies that have been putting out books than I ever recall before. I mean, before you had like DK, and that was about it.
Yeah. Now we've got and also Rogue One Rebel Dossier is coming out in December. With another, it's an in-universe collection of information and files about the group of rebels tasked with stealing the Death Star plans. And then, of course, man, there's a lot of book news. The Art of Rogue One, a Star Wars story, is also on its way, which, of course, I always love the art books. Man, I absolutely love the art books. So that's coming our way. We don't have an exact release date on that yet. And finally, from San Diego Comic-Con, we saw it from a tiny, 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 tiny distance, but I can say we were technically in the same room as the Jyn Erso action figure, but now we have a look at the Black Series, which debuted at Comic-Con. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Yeah, the next wave's character that you will never find.
Exactly. All right. Ladies and gentlemen,
she looks glorious, man. The Black Series is way better than I ever gave it credit when it first came out.
Yeah, yeah. If you could find them. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's do it. Boba's Bounty.
It's worth a lot to me.
Oh, yeah.
As you wish.
All right, folks, you know it. You love it. Every week we talk about something we read, saw, liked, generally experienced, or thought about in the past week in the world of Star Wars. Gentlemen, Bruce and Scott, I'll let you guys come up with yours, and I'll kick off the segment, and Mark, I'll have you go next. That way everyone can bring forward something that they've been doing Star Wars-y this week. It's time to highlight something that you like that maybe not enough people have seen. For me, I'm doing a total selfish self-plug. and that is, you need to go right now, if you haven't seen it, to youtube.com/StarWarsReport. It's the most recent video on our channel. It is the Riley Star Wars Celebration Europe 2016 vlog spectacular, in which I basically pulled out my LG G5 phone and just shot the whole weekend and then edited it all together in about a 8.5 minute vlog that showcases our experience at Star Wars Celebration, which is... it was a ton of fun to do, and I'm so glad I did it, and it was a big hit. A lot of people really seemed to like it. It's also on our Facebook page, facebook.com/StarWarsReport. It's the most recent video there as well. So if you guys haven't seen it, make sure you check it out. I'm super proud of it, and it's a fun way to relive Star Wars Celebration Europe through the Riley eyes. So there you go. Mr. Herleman.
Smiley eyes. I like that. That's pretty cool. And you had that really cool flashy logo that comes spinning around. I'm like, oh, it looks so glorious. You know, for me, I was reading Life Debt, you know, Chuck Wendig's second book. Chuck's style either grows on you or he has grown less attached to his style. It was a much better experience for me going in this one. I didn't really read the book so much. I was doing the audiobook for the most part. But again, I like to go back and on my second read, I kind of follow along, which is where I discovered that epilogue bit in more detail. You know, it's one of those things like to hear it intrigues you, but to read it kind of cements it in the brain. But for me, you know, that was really the mild one. The one that really I wanted to talk about was my mother-in-law passed away on Parents' Day. And we're in the process of going through all her stuff. And yesterday we were going through one of the boxes and she had a Star Wars Yoda. Still in the packaging.
Oh, no
and,
way.
Man, it just dropped me to my knees because it was one of the one things I gave her like when I first met her. And I had totally spaced it. Like, I gave it to her, like, as a joke. Like, you know, like, hey, you're the Jedi master to the woman I love kind of thing. And she kept it all that time. Like, it just tore me up, man. I was not expecting that. Like, you know, me and her, we've shared so many geeky things. When I met her, she was, you know, done with movies and Star Trek and that kind of stuff. That was a part of her life that she wasn't doing anymore. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, there's a show Firefly out there. There's a remake of Battlestar Galactica. I got her into those and Lost and Veronica Mars, a whole bunch of geeky stuff. And, you know, she got to enjoy the Star Wars. She didn't like the new Star Wars film because of what happened to Han. But, you know, I got to have this really great experience with my mother-in-law. And seeing that Yoda figure and seeing that she kept it pristine and in there, that was just probably one of the coolest things for me, you know, on a personal level. So I wanted to share that.
That's awesome. Dude, that's super cool. Super cool. Mr. Bruce.
Well, I was at Walt Disney World this week, and I do have Chuck Wendig's latest book, which I'm getting ready to start reading, which I wanted to do while I was there. But, you know, when you're at Walt Disney World, there's a lot going on. You're going... Exactly. From here to there, run all over the place. But I think outside of having Chuck's latest book, the thing I collected this week were the memories at Walt Disney World. Because when you have your family with you and your kids are excited about Star Wars and there's Star Wars at Disney World, and my youngest daughter gets to meet Kylo Ren, who she says to him, hey, how's your dad? And he points to the exit and tells her to get out. You know, it's this kind of fun thing that, you know, it was really fun to enjoy with your kids and talk about. And just seeing all these kids walking around the park and dressed Star Wars or just wearing Star Wars shirts. And I'm wearing a Star Wars Force Awakens shirt and people are stopping me and just like, hey, Star Wars, and just want to talk to you about Star Wars. I mean, just because somebody wears a Star Wars shirt, I don't think that they're, you know, necessarily a huge fan necessarily, but I mean, people see that and they want to talk to you about it. They want, you know, I was asked, one of the cast members stopped me and said, hey, who's your favorite character? And of course, they're all my favorite characters, but I said Obi-Wan, just because it changes daily. But yes. That was my experience this week.
Nice. Nice. Mr. Rifen, you want to cap us off?
Well, let me just first say, I think Mark is exactly right. I think Chuck Wendig's style goes down much easier in audiobook form.
Mm-hmm.
When you're reading it, it is as if Buffy the Vampire Slayer wrote a Star Wars novel. So my big discovery this week is I've been trying to collect these Adventures in Wild Space books.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen these? For the older kids, they're only available in England right now. And I got a couple of them. Huh?
They will be coming across the pond, but yeah, those are good.
But there was an exclusive prologue that was only put out over there for World Book Day, and I snagged a copy of it. It actually arrived this week, and nice. I knew it was used, but it was the cutest part was it's got a little kid's name in the front. This book belongs to, and he's got his name written in it. And I hope somebody didn't snatch it away from him to sell it, but. Yeah.
but bad, kid.
Yeah, exactly.
Possession's not tenth of the law, son, and you don't.
But I did get the special prologue to this week. It's a little undersized. It's a little small compared to the rest of the books in the series, both in book size and in page count. But the Adventures in Wild Space, The Escape, is now mine.
Nice, nice. Is that the one that I think Nathan was reviewing some of those? That
yeah. Nathan was just putting them up on the site. Yep.
Yeah. So we've got some reviews, some book reviews from Nathan. Looks like they sent them to him, so you can check those out on StarWarsReport.com. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's do it. Time for some feedback. This email actually comes from Christopher. He says, I've wanted to ask someone and thought all of the Star Wars media/podcast I consume, you guys would at least appreciate it and maybe give some of your insight. I've noticed in various media, droids have been questioning their programming and protocols. In turn, they seem to be becoming less subservient and more independent. At least the seeds of the idea seem to be being planted. The idea has been in Rebels, C-3PO the comic, and it looks like it may be an Alan Tudyk's character in Rogue One. My thought is, what if Story Group has their storytelling act so together that they're planting the seeds for a future conflict where the droids rise up and fight? I had to do it, guys. Rise up and fight for their own freedom. As I type it, it sounds silly, but I wanted to throw it out there to someone. Thanks, and thanks for your insight, Christopher. So, Mark?
Not so silly, man. Not so silly.
I figured you'd tackle this one. That's actually a concept
Legends has messed with quite a bit. The New Rebellion, Crueler was going to use droids to blow up a bunch of people. IG-88 story in the Tales of Bounty Hunter.
Just stop there, Mark. Let me just say, real quick, the IG-88 story in Tales of the Bounty Hunters is so good. So good.
Yeah. That's a creepy one. Pretty dang successful.
But
I think the heart of this is the Great Droid Rebellion from Tales of the Jedi and the Old Republic, where droid rights was a huge movement. There was a lot of talks into it. We've seen characters from HK-47 to, you know, the one from Pavan Loren. He had that one droid. Oh God, and I loved him, and I can't think of his name right now. But yeah, they're working towards that. You're seeing Mr. Bones is kind of doing that. Chopper. We've always seen Whistler. We've seen R2 doing it for the longest time. You know, that concept of if they don't get regular memory wipes, they start getting quirky, and the quirkiness turns into a personality of a sort.
Yep.
And I think that would be a brilliant move on their part, because, like I said, it was something in Legends. So for them to bring it over and remake it, what better place to put it? Like, say, in like maybe the Rebels TV show later?
I think there's a spot for like a version of the story, not a full on iRobot uprising, but perhaps something more along the lines of a story of like R2-D2 hasn't been wiped in long enough that he has kind of a better sense of morality and character and judgment, and he kind of becomes the leader of a droid takeover of a Imperial spaceship. You know, like some kind of story like that would be kind of cool.
Well, and that's where I wonder, it's where would you put it? You put it in Rebels, or would you put it closer to The Force Awakens?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. Like,
and the seeds of all of that are, you know, as far as society's treatment of droids, is buried in as early as Episode 4.
In what way?
Yeah.
Oh, we don't serve their kind here.
I didn't even think of that.
It's very 50s sit at the lunch counter type of delivery of that line.
Yeah, no, I totally.
Clone Wars was a bunch of clones fighting a bunch of droids, and now the world's, they don't trust droids at all either. So
we don't like you. I don't like you either.
You're squeaky and you look bad.
SWR gang, I have loved following your Facebook updates from your trip from Star Wars Celebration Europe. Wish I could have gone. Been in Florida at the beach with my family on vacation, so not a bad way to spend the week. Looking ahead to Star Wars Celebration Orlando, do you have suggestions? I'm going to take and pay for my brother and son and nephew, and it has been years since I've been to a celebration, and I cannot go there all 4 days. Are there days that you would suggest I be there over other days? I was going to buy my tickets fairly soon. Booking a flight and rooms. Would you suggest Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday as the best days to be there? I can probably cover two. Thoughts? Thanks. This is from Joe Milano. And Joe, thanks so much for emailing, a longtime listener. I'll go last because I have thoughts, but I'll start up because Scott, you've been at two celebrations. What are your thoughts? Like, if you had to pick one or
both
two
of
days
them in Orlando, yeah. If I had to pick 2 days, I'd pick Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
If I had to pick one day, I would probably, well, that's tough. It would be Friday or Saturday, kind of a coin toss. But I think Saturday is probably the day you'll see the most traffic. You'll see the most people. You see the most interesting things.
It depends. Go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say your big reveal panels are probably going to be Thursday and Friday. But I think Saturday, from sheer entertainment, for sheer volume of things going on and things to do, I think Saturday is probably your best bet. But let me also say, before I surrender the microphone, as something I told Joey Tavano in Brews and Blasters, and that is the biggest thing you can do is not overplan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because you're going to want to hit, you're going to say, well, this panel runs from 10 to 11. This one's 11:15 to 12:15. We'll do this one, then we'll run over and catch this one. No, you won't.
No, you won't at all. Yep.
You will not.
My discovery.
you need to make your wish list. You need to prioritize it, but you need to not be crushed if there are things you just can't make.
See, and that's where I'm in agreement with you 100%. And I lean closer to the Thursday, Friday as my two. Definitely Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But it seems like Celebration Anaheim, and even with Orlando, it seems like they're doing a lot more big events on that first day. I mean, Anaheim especially, it was Chewy. We're home.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll get your big reveals on Thursday. That's true.
And that I mean, especially with Anaheim, I wasn't at this last one, so I don't know about the first day, but that Anaheim one, it was like, it felt like the world was just riding on a euphoria of those words, because like, yep, that was everywhere. I mean, the whole celebration feeling was, we're home, we're at the place we're supposed to be. And I don't know, like that sense of excitement on that first day, like I almost think that might be the best day to go. But again, I wasn't at the last one, so I don't know if they've changed that, because it seemed like that might have been the direction they were going.
Yeah, no, the Rogue One was all for the first day, Friday.
Yeah,
the first day was Friday. We had Rogue One. We had the Mark Hamill panel. Those were two big ones that were going on at Celebration Europe. And then Saturday was Rebels. But I'm kind of in the camp with Mark, because, you know, Mark does a lot of camping. So I'm in his camp more so on this one. I would probably favor Thursday and Friday if I couldn't go through the whole thing, because I'm really interested in the big reveals.
Yeah.
So if you're really wanting to be there for some big reveal or some sneak peek into a trailer or scenes, I would favor Thursday. If you're looking at it more as a, well, I kind of want to check a lot of things out and meet people, and reveals aren't as important to me, then I would kind of favor more Friday, because the crowds won't be as crazy as they are on Saturday.
Yeah.
But really, you can't go wrong. I would say it seems pretty obvious here that Sunday is the day that we're saying you don't have to go to, but
yeah.
You might miss the closing ceremonies where they show three behind the scenes pictures of the next movie. Joe,
this is what you need to do. You need to tell your brother, I love you, but I'm not paying for you. I'm going to pay for your son. I'll pay for my son. I'll pay for my son. You pay for you, and we'll go for all 4 days.
There you go.
It's called finagling.
Oh, and by the way, if you're really being into parties and you really want to party late at night, I would then say Saturday probably would be your day, because that's probably when there's going to be some big party going on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, 501st like, parties. Okay, I did not go to the 501st party at Anaheim, and I still regret it. I think it was, what, $75 or maybe $160? It seemed really expensive, but...
When, that's,
when it was all said and done, and I'm looking at the pictures that Riley and Bethany got, I was kicking myself really hard, because it would have been worth every penny.
Yeah, that, I mean, it's optional. That's certainly not a fee that I'm going to list as part of the required celebration budget in my LifeCon the Cheap post. But, yeah, no, I was, I agree 100% Saturday for the biggest, busiest day. But if you want to go and you want to be like in the audience, if you want to like wait in line all night and then be in the audience when they show the episode 8 trailer, your day is Thursday. So, and if you can go 2 days, if they have to be sequential, just do Thursday, Friday. If they don't have to be sequential, do Thursday, Saturday. That would be my recommendation, Joe. And thanks so much for listening and supporting us all this time. We really appreciate it. Dude, it's hard to believe, but it's about... that time. It's about that time, folks. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. This episode of the Star Wars Report podcast is now officially in the proverbial can. Thanks so much for tuning in. Thanks for the emails, Christopher and Joe. Thanks so much for everyone who's... been supporting us and jumped on board at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. You can do so as well. That's how you get a t-shirt, by the way. We don't mention that enough. I think we've got one or two more to send out. So it's all over there. You can check it out. patreon.com/StarWarsReport. Also, make sure you're catching up with us over on social media. I'm at the Riley Guy on Twitter as well as on Snapchat, and posting all kinds of fun stuff all the time from those accounts. You can follow the main show. It's at Star Wars Report on Twitter, as well as facebook.com/StarWarsReport. Shoot us an email like Christopher or Joe. It's StarWarsReport@gmail.com. And most importantly, we need them, especially if you've enjoyed all the coverage we've been doing of Celebration and stuff, and you're getting something out of the show. Share it. You want to get the word out to other folks, other fine Star Wars fans, and the best way to do that is iTunes. Make sure you go to StarWarsReport.com/iTunes. Again, that's StarWarsReport.com/iTunes. It takes you straight to the iTunes store, and you can literally just punch in a rating and review, and we really do appreciate those. It really does help get the word out about the show. Let me go around the circle, make sure we get everyone's contact info in. Mr. Bruce, how can folks find you and all of your fine publications on the internet?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at Admiral_Rex, and you can also find me on a podcast called Literary Treks, where we talk about that other franchise and books and novels.
Well said. But I mean, we can give you one more. We can do like one more, just as a parting shot.
One more what?
Think about it. Think about it.
Star Wars report?
Nope. Yeah, another Star Trek callback. Reference.
Live long and prosper, dude.
Oh, you still right. want me? I said I wasn't going to do that. I'm not going to do that.
Ah, you're too honorable, sir. Too honorable.
I'm too honorable. No. May the force be with you.
Excellent. Excellent. Mark, where can folks find you?
You can find me on the internet. If there's a name, a logical rogue too, you know it's me. Yeah, that's pretty much it in a nutshell. Though, you know, I do want to know, I want to see sometime a little droid out there that's a little trash compactor droid that they call the can, because I think it's time.
Nice. And Mr. Scott Rifen, where can folks find you?
For me personally, the at Rifen on Twitter for my Star Wars story, which probably you'd find more appealing. My Star Wars story on Twitter. I try to make things really simple.
Nice. And we'll have links to all of it in the show notes for this week's podcast. Episode 233 of the Star Wars Report is in the can. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back with you next week. We're working out the details and scheduling. It may not work out next week, but we've got Brian Young coming on pretty soon. We're going to actually do our own little film school. We're going to be rewatching, at least I am, and I'm sure, and we'll get a fresh look at Rian Johnson's film school at 12 o'clock high and Bridge Over River Kwai. Bridge on the River Kwai. I keep saying over accidentally. That'll do it for this week's episode. We'll be back with you guys next week. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll catch you on the other side. May the force be with you, and remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.
There was lots of inspiration.
Republic credits are no good out here. I need something more real. American dollars are no good out here. I need something more real.
Huh.
That will be 14 euro. All right. Eek. Let me turn off the recording.